Hello, I'm going to have to ask your patience here. I know it's been a long day, but unfortunately, like many of you, this isn't the first day I've spent in this building against my will. My name is Will Neals. I was born and raised in Appleton in Knox County. I've spent all of my life, except for some travel around this country and in South America, in Knox and Waldo County. I spent 10 years in Lincolnville. I grew up and played Little League with people whose fathers worked at the prison in Thomaston. That's what happens when you grow up in the St. George River Valley. I remember back in the early 80s when there was a big jailbreak and my mom had to tote around the sawed-off shotgun out in the yard to make sure nothing happened to us. So the point is, I grew up in a state and in a county where we were aware of the dynamics of what happened at the prison. Today, I know people who I grew up with who work there now, people who are police officers and county sheriffs, well, not sheriffs, but deputies. I'm not ignorant of many of the dynamics of these things. The reason I'm not ignorant is because those aren't the only people I know. Since I was 18 years old, I've been a political activist. For the last 15 years, I've traveled around this country to fight for the justice which I saw lacking all over. As corporations, unfortunately, in many cases, corrupt politicians and bureaucrats did everything they could to exploit, whether it was the taxpayers' dollars or the taxpayers' natural resources, for, obviously and always, a small amount of people's benefit. In that time, and in that experience, I've been arrested 7 times, always for political actions. I've been charged with felonies. I've been charged with weapons charges. 4 times I've been charged with resisting arrest. I don't tell you these things necessarily as a rap sheet, but just so you understand, I've been through this. I've had the bars closed on me. I don't know, and I won't ask you, but I bet most of you probably haven't had the bars closed on you. You may not have slept on a concrete slab in the 3rd Precinct down in Boston, but it'll change your attitude about some things, that's for damn sure. You may not have been there when your friends were dragged 60 feet by their testicles to a Republican National Convention in 2000 by police officers. It may not have been your friends who were targeted and charged with aggravated assault on the chief of police, set to for a 3-year show trial, until eventually we produced the video evidence which showed that the chief of police, unfortunately, had fallen over his own bicycle. And my friends were just pistol-whipped and beaten for 2.5 days in 5 different precincts in Philadelphia because they had the inconvenience of being arrested there. I'm not saying these things to talk about the main justice system. I'm saying these things to talk about the justice system of this country. Because, inevitably, the police forces, the sheriff's departments, and the Department of Justice, Department of Corrections in this state are inevitably tied. There's a network. That's what's happened now. Because privatized prisons have come into the picture. It's no longer exclusively the state's responsibility to regulate and take care of their own citizens. Much of the time now we farm that out to larger corporations who inevitably, if they can generate more of a need to do more to have these people in detention facilities longer, will make more money off of us, the taxpayer. In this case, federal taxpayers much of the time. In Maine, I know, fortunately, we still control much of the Department of Corrections, and we still control many of these dynamics, and that's a very fortunate thing. As more and more of these things slip out of our control and are taken into the privatized sector, we lose the ability, as taxpayers, to actually be frugal. Many of you who were born and raised in the state will remember that being frugal used to be something we prided ourselves on. Many of the old-timers in that valley who taught me a lot as a young boy in the 70s and 80s made it very clear to me that making do with little or nothing was not just a tradition in Maine, it was a belligerent necessity because we'd never had much to begin with. I bring these things up so you can understand that what we're really dealing with here is a failure, a huge, huge failure as a society, a failure to recognize our responsibility to our peers, our responsibility to ourselves, to actually take the situation in hand and to do what's necessary to make sure that the people who go into the custodial situations in the state, like I have, just county facilities, of course, but people like that don't come out the worst for it. I understand why I was arrested each and every time. I understood what was going on. I understood that, inevitably, government and big business never like it when you call attention to things that are happening that may be against the law and definitely contradictory to the public interest and need. I wasn't shocked. I'm never shocked when I get arrested. It just happens. It's like, oh, great, here it is again. But that's me. what I think is really important is that we recognize that these people who have been here today representing the DOC, unless they were in management positions, realistically, those people testified with concern for their safety, economically, physically. Obviously, they have jobs. I recognize and respect that, and I appreciate that, because I know people who have some jobs very similar to that. But unfortunately, what I see is a system that's entrenched bureaucrats who've now spent decades effectively sucking off public heat. That doesn't give me confidence as a citizen that they actually are going to do what's necessary. One of the things I've heard about a lot growing up in that valley was how much money could be made by smuggling drugs into that prison. I'm not talking about cigarettes, alcohol, pot. I'm talking about real drugs, the kind that actually destroy lives. Well, now we don't have to do that anymore. Now we farm that out to the pharmaceutical companies. It's great. They give the people psychotropics and these things that make them totally and absolutely comatose. How convenient. The problem, though, is that doesn't help much us. When they get put back on the street, they need those drugs. That's a major problem. We can't be doing this to people. We can't be drugging people like this. We have to be able to stand up and acknowledge our responsibility to our peers and actually begin to engage, create real rehabilitation programs, real rehabilitation programs. I mean, I can see both sides of this because I also grew up with people who ended up going in and out of the criminal system throughout the counties, the youth centers. I know people who started the youth center when they were 13. You know, I mean, like, it's pretty young. You know, they describe it as being raised by the state, being abused by guards. You know, I mean, for them to overcome that and actually become productive adult members of the society, useful fathers, productive people, it's a huge accomplishment in the face of the odds that they had coming from the poverty-ridden backgrounds that they came from. And that's the simple reality of this state.
Most of us, Mr. Deals, I'm sorry to interrupt. I would appreciate it if you have comments on this bill or the elements of this bill.
Yes, ma'am.
That would be very helpful to us tonight.
Of course.
Thank you.
I'm sorry to bring up poor people here, but so many of the people in the custodial situation this day are poor.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry to bring up poor people here, but so many of the people in the custodial situation are poor. I understand. In relation to that, the privatized prison system, which isn't in this state, has developed all sorts of exciting techniques which can transfer it into the publicly run systems. Since there's a direct capital incentive to sell products and to sell things that are needed, like the drug companies, ma'am. You understand what I'm saying? Those are our tax dollars paying for all those drugs. I believe that that changes the dynamics of how publicly run systems actually work. I think it's a very, very unfortunate influence that's happened. To specifically refer to the importance of this bill, I recognize this bill is not perfect, clearly. But I would argue after 15 years of coming to this house, speaking to people just like you, I've never seen a perfect bill in this state. It doesn't happen. I think what you have to recognize is that if people go into the custodial situations, whether they're county, up in Somerset County, in the new Taser chair up there, or whether they're in the SMU here, like Michael and David Zisk, who just spoke a couple of hours ago, we're fortunate that these young men, these brothers, members of our generation, because I'm only 33, and you're older, and you won't be here as long. These people are positive examples because of their strength, not necessarily because of the system that they went through. That system needs to be able to take the input from these young men, take the input from the citizens, and recognize that we have to change what we're doing to our peers. That's why I admitted to you straight up that I've been arrested 7 times. It's because I want you to understand, we're all in this together. If you were born in this state, if you lived here your whole life, we're here together. And we have to be able to deal with each other that way. And the reason is because if we don't do it appropriately, respectfully, and sensibly, the people who are abused, tortured, and mistreated in custodial care are then going to come back out and deal with us. Relatively reasonable people. People who want to see the best in our peers and our community. But now, we've got wound up, angry, and extremely, in some cases, vengeful people. So- drug problems, which they acquired in custody. I feel it's your charge to recognize that these expensive, isolated containment systems cost more. One of those bigwigs trying to state with a spiffy title, I don't have that, I dropped out of high school at 15, was talking about how it costs twice as much to be an isolation unit as opposed to the general population. Well, if 95% of the solitary recipients get out, and are out on the streets, then what are those 95% of the population going to do? And I think that's why we should be happy that these young men came here to speak to us so civilly, with so much respect. Because I bet there's 100 like them who wouldn't be able to hold themselves back in these chambers. And lastly, I'll leave you with this. I was glad to hear the representative of the union talking about how this committee has been a champion of victims of serious crimes. And I think at this point in time in our state, in our state's history, we need to recognize that when we have indigenous women coming forward saying that they have been raped in custodial care by guards, we need to remember that that's our responsibility. Those guards were hired by somebody who was hired by a bureaucrat. And you guys are our representatives here to keep us all safe. Not just these guards. I heard a lot of talk about their safety, and I'm not against any of the representatives of the DOC's safety. We all should be safe in our communities. That's what we want. But if women are being raped in the prisons of this state, that's unacceptable, because it's happening in our name. And if you have been advocates for the and champions for the victims of serious crimes, then I hope that you, Ann, will be an advocate and a champion.
Excuse me, that's Representative Haskell.
Absolutely, ma'am. I hope that you will be a champion of those women. I believe fundamentally that unlike one of the young men whose testimony was read recently, it is not in God's hands. It is in your hands. It is in our hands. And it is up to us to step up and take responsibility for our community and no longer slough it along into the dark corners and recesses of the southern end of the St. George River Valley.
Questions at this time?
Representative Sykes? Thank you, Representative Haskell. Just a clarification. I think I heard you use the term taser champ. Is that specific? Did you use that term? And is that specific to a situation in Maine?
I believe that there is a video on a website, the Maine Video Activist Network, that was just recently created about the new taser chair up in Somerset County. And I recognize that that's in a county facility. It's not in the state prison or one of the adjunct state containment devices, but recognizing, of course, that the Somerset County Jail will no doubt be contributing at least one or two people to the state facility this year, it might have a repercussion on their state of mind as they enter the state penitentiary.
Have you seen that video?
I've only seen portions of it, sir. I haven't seen all of it, but sadly, I don't believe the internet can actually.
The website is on YouTube, but could you give me some
information? I would be happy to provide that for you before the work session, so yes, I would.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? If not, we are still on proponents.